This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're thrilled to have him. So thankful. Andrew Bogut joining us here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. Hey, Andrew, how you doing, man?
Good. Yourself?
We're doing great, man. First of all, just want to sort of like, because you didn't get to do it in person last night, kind of like send along the love from the entire Warrior fan base and the organization about the 2015 team. Were you following along with that in any way or talking to any of the guys?
Not really, to be honest with you. I had the invite, which only came to me about a month ago. So as our American friends don't usually realize, Australia's a pretty far place to just jump on a quick flight for a game. So I couldn't organizationally get down there. But, you know, it was obviously a great night and a very special time. And texted with a few other teammates that weren't down the night as well. And would have liked to have been there, but it just, scheduling, being this far away from the U.S., just didn't work.
Yeah, it's great to hear you, and I'm sure Bay Area fans, Warrior fans are loving this because you instantly became a fan favorite because the way you played and your personality. When you think about that season, 2015, that culminated in a title, what are some of the things that you remember and some of your takeaways from that year?
I think just the way it all came together, I think it was just an anomaly, really. Like, we had a pretty decent squad that was building into something special, had a good mix of youth, good mix of veteran leadership. We had great role players and just started the season off pretty well, and everything just kind of fell together perfectly. You know, our roles were established just naturally, and it just was an enjoyable way. I mean, when you can play basketball the way that squad did, later on KD came and the system was a little bit different, but I believe, and I'm not being biased, that those 2 years that I played there were two of the best years of professional basketball I've played, as far as enjoyment and just the way everything was in sync and the ball moves, and we didn't have to overthink things. Everyone kind of knew each other's strengths and weaknesses, had each other's backs. It was just all automatic. It wasn't some sort of intro offense that we put together or defense. It was literally just having guys that was, high basketball like you guys playing together and having time to make mistakes over the course of the years and play together and go through ups and downs. And it all just came together, and it was just a beautiful way to play, in my opinion.
Yeah, it really was beautiful basketball to watch. And Andrew, I don't know if this comment got back to you, but last night Steve Kerr was asked about the team and said who was kind of the underrated or unsung hero of this whole thing, and he mentioned your name. Did you know that?
Yeah, Raymond Ruder sent me the clip, so yeah, pretty cool. Big compliment from Steve, and appreciate that. I had ups and downs all throughout my Warriors times as well, with injuries and whatnot, but felt like I provided something that was lacking before I got to Golden State, and that was physical presence. Wasn't afraid to hit people, set hard screens, rebound, block shots, and it fit in as a perfect piece of the puzzle. So, just getting through the playoffs that year and having a battle with Ebo and Gasol and Dwight Howard and some of these bigger guys. And then obviously, in the Cleveland series, it was a little bit of a different matchup, didn't play as much, but providing kind of what I could was really cool, and it's nice to get that notoriety.
Also, in just thinking back to those times, like, I don't know what word you'd use for it. I want to ask you if it's surprising to you or how would you describe the fact that some of those teammates, they're still here and they're still playing at a high level? Like, would you have foreseen that then?
Yeah, I mean, Steph just doesn't age, right? Like, he's usually guards have a pretty steep decline once it hits, just because speed goes, and then you lose your quickness, and it's pretty hard to keep up with these young guys coming into the league. And then Draymond probably a little bit more unsurprising, just because he's not, you know, this isn't a knock, but he was never a guy that played strictly on athleticism or speed. He plays a lot on basketball IQ. He's got really long arms, multi-positional, and he's just a gritty guy. So you could see him playing later on to his 30s, but Steph's just been fantastic. And considering, you know, where his body started in his NBA career with all the injuries that he had and issues of just getting healthy to where he is now is phenomenal, and just a testament to how much time and effort he puts in to be a professional.
And to that end, Andrew, and Andrew Bogut here on 95.7 The Game, on that championship team, you had Draymond in his second year, Clay in his third, Steph in his fifth. Did you, at that moment, project out what these three guys would eventually be 10 years later?
Oh, it's always hard to figure out kind of the trajectory. You obviously, Steph come from MVP, multiple MVP years and whatnot, so you kind of knew that his star was at the top and continuing to rise. Seeing Clay, yeah, definitely just his scoring ability, and Draymond, and we had other guys too. You know, Harrison Barnes is still floating around the league, and you know, it's definitely cool to see when you retire and, you know, 5-6 years post retirement, you still got ex teammates floating around. Really, really cool.
Andrew Bogut with us, and Andrew, I know you do still follow the league, and so certainly curious about your take on the trade deadline, how that is filtered through the Western Conference, and do you sort of buy the talk that's happening around here, courtesy of Draymond, that this is now a championship contender?
Look, when they made the trade, I was wondering how it was going to work just from a shooting point of view, because, you know, Jimmy's not a you know, your classic catch-and-shoot three-point guy that you can kind of defensively, you can muck off him. So I thought with him and Draymond in the lineup at times, is that going to work? But it's been a great fit. You know, I think it's given life to Draymond. It's given life to Steph. I think they feel like they got a genuine chance now. I saw Dunleavy Jr.'s interview after the trade a couple of weeks back, and he mentioned that the big thing they wanted from Jimmy was that they got an issue of not getting to the free throw line, which has kind of always been an issue for the Warriors, just with the run and gun style and so many three-point attempts. Even when I was there, we just didn't get to the free throw line a lot. And Jimmy just fills that beautifully. You know, he's an 8-10 free throw a night guy. When you've got clunky, crappy offensive possessions, he'll get to the line and knock down some shots and calm things down. And he's an elite defender. So now you've got an elite perimeter defender, an elite inside defender with Draymond. Put some pieces around that. You know, I tell you what, I think they'll finish higher than they are now. But if they happen to get an 8 seed and you're OKC, I don't think you want to see them in the first round.
Yeah, no doubt. And especially with the experience, Jimmy's been to the finals a couple times. And, you know, you mentioned Steph and Draymond have 4 titles apiece. And your first title run, you had some veterans as well with Iguodala and David Lee, Leandro Barbosa. How important is that veteran experience when you get down into the playoffs?
Really important. You know, Andre was obviously just having his jersey retired for a reason. He was a stabilizing presence for us. As far as a veteran goes, he was the leader of our bench unit, brought into that role. We had Sean Livingston, who provided so much for us at times. You know, people forget we won a series without Steph against Portland. I think it was a second year maybe. And Livingston was huge in that series. So you need a mix. And I think most teams that are successful, we often see these young teams that you probably look at OKC last season, took the world by storm, but I always kind of had a say on that and saying, I don't think they'll win it yet. I don't think they're there yet. They need a few more pieces. They need some more time together. And you know, you can't beat Father Time. The battles that these veterans go through, and then you sprinkle a couple of those into your team, and then you have what you have with the Warriors, those runs. And they're a very similar unit. They've got a bit of youth now, Minga and whatnot. They've got some shooting and Heald, and then you've still got those veterans. But, you know, it's just amazing that Golden State really only one really down horrible year out of the last, you know, decade plus, considering all the championships, is pretty impressive. They just haven't had that downward spiral over a long period like most teams do after a championship and kind of a breakup.
Andrew Bogut with us, and his podcast, which is really good, by the way, is called Rogue Bogues. So you can check that out and get all of the analysis and entertainment and everything from Andrew all the time. Andrew, you mentioned Jonathan Kuminga's name there. This is a huge hot button thing on the weekly here in the Bay Area right now, which is sort of projecting who he's going to be. What do you see as the possibilities for Jonathan Kuminga's future career?
These things are so hard to call. You just don't know. Sometimes they get a big contract and it settles guys down and they play even better. Sometimes guys like that can get a good contract and then not play as well because of all the pressure. Sometimes guys like that can benefit from a change of scenery. You know, like there's so many factors that go into it. Look, he's very unique athletically, can definitely get to the basket and get some points. I think he's still young and learning defensively. He's got all the tools to be a good defender. He's not there yet, but I think he's a young and up-and-coming player. You can see why the Warriors were hesitant on including him in any trades or any deals that they were going to do. But it's just a matter of how fast can he progress into that, because you're looking down the barrel, like we just spoke about, to open this. You've got a lot of older guys on that team that are going to start to transition to lesser roles or even move on. He's probably the one that you're looking in your telescope saying that's kind of the future beyond those guys. And I guess this is the time to see, and he can really grow into a valuable fifth role player right now. They can have nights where he scores 20, 25, but then look into 2 or 3 years, take over the reins. So, yeah, I don't know where his ceiling sits, but he's got all the tools to be a very good player.
How tough is it for younger players to have a role like this, where you might play 18 minutes a night, you might be expected to play 34 another? Moses Moody's kind of in that bucket as well. Is that really difficult for young players to have that sort of a yo-yo role from night to night?
Yeah, it can be frustrating. I know Kuminga's had some issues where he's, you know, close to DNPs, if not DNPs at times, and being benched, and Steve's tried to use the minutes as currency to make sure that he's doing the right thing, and that can be frustrating, but you have to understand that's the coach's only currency they have, really. They don't pay your bills, they don't pay your contract, they don't negotiate your contract. All they can really motivate you with is playing time, and I think he's responded well. I think he's had ups and downs, but he's bounced back and he continues to try to get better. So I think he's going to be a great player. It's just a matter of how great is he. The question, I guess, for you guys and most Warriors fans, you know, move on from Steph and Draymond and even Jimmy, can he be the one? Can he be the guy? Can he lead Golden State for the next decade plus? That's the question that he's got to answer, and that's the question that Golden State's got to ask itself in regards to the contract extension and whatnot, and that's, you know, that's arguable both ways.
Speaking of young guys, Andrew, what did the Warriors just get in this 23-year-old Australian Taron Armstrong?
Yeah, played in the NBL last season. Very, 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 very good player. Very good out of the pick and roll. Kind of, he's a high usage guy, so I'm not sure how that's going to fit in with Golden State. They, you know, obviously like to move the ball more than just play out of the pick and roll, but very good at getting in the lane. Kind of a bigger guard, deceivingly quicker than he looks. Gets in the paint at will, can get to the free throw line, but he has some fire to him. He'll fight you. So that's what we like about him in Australia. Like he's not afraid to back down. He's ever improving. He's still a young guy, a lot to learn, but he's got, you know, any guy that has passion and will step nose to nose to you and fight you and not let you just walk over him has a chance. And I think it's a great pickup for Golden State. You know, worst case, he's a G League player for this season. And then you got him in training camp. You can keep him around in the summer, play some summer league. I think it's a great opportunity for him and the Warriors to get a. He's a pure natural point guard. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes over the course of the year.
Bogues, before you go, I just wonder what your thought is on everything that's happened with Luka Doncic over the last 3 weeks.
It's been interesting.
Yeah,
it's been interesting. I mean, you don't often have basketball news talked about by non-basketball people, which this has brought on. People here that don't really follow the game ask me questions about it, so that was interesting. But look, I look at it two ways. I think first and foremost, I think it's a bad deal for Dallas, regardless of how you look at it. I don't think it was a great deal. I think they the fact they only spoke to, reportedly only spoke to two teams is just mind-boggling, absolutely mind-boggling. And, you know, but on from my other hat on, and is it finally time where teams are saying we're going to, in the era of player empowerment, are we not going to tolerate this stuff no matter how good you are now? You know, so that's where you get on the other side. You look at someone like probably Zion Williamson, it's probably a similar situation, right? Not as big a star as Luka, but he's had his issues with injuries, with weight and all that kind of stuff. Do teams start saying, we don't want to go on a second, third apron on a Supermax because we don't want to pay you because of XYZ, and we just let you go like that, kind of, not cheaply, but didn't get a whole lot back what they should have. That's interesting in itself now. So I think there's a lot of dynamics that you can look at in this, but I think it's the fact that Dallas did it, I think, took a lot of, you know, steel, you know what, you know? So big move by them, but yeah, I just think that, I think it's very interesting.
Well, and it almost feels like, I don't know if you feel this way, but The Athletic today has a bunch of, there's all these sourced comments, right? And now it's talking about his not just his weight, but his smoking and it did beer and all this. It sort of feels like there's a smear campaign going on after the trade.
Look, man, there's NBA players that go out till 5 in the morning and go out and drop 40 the next night. Like, you know, vices off the floor to me in the NBA, unless they're super detrimental, where you're on hard drugs or doing something absolutely diabolical. Like, everyone's got a vice. And yes, could he be in better shape? For sure. I think there's no doubt about that, especially with his injury history. But, you know, it's just the fact that they're going to those lengths to try to, it's just sad to see Dallas going to those lengths to leak that kind of stuff. It's like, you made the trade, put your big boy pants on, move on with life. You know, I think Dallas, the only way they can salvage this as being a half plausible deal, in my opinion, is if they get a championship in the next two seasons. But with AD's injury, that's, you know, who knows? I think that's the only way they can salvage this as somewhat okay. But yeah, kind of, I just find it, the fact that you're doing that smear campaign, you're kind of, if you're playing poker, you're showing your hand that you messed up. That's what it's telling me if you're Dallas. We messed up. Now we're going to try to smear this guy as much as possible to show that our trade process was not inept like most people think.
Man, it's wonderful to have your perspective, and we really, really appreciate your time. And we also wanted to ask who we should bet on tonight, since it's Thursday there, and you probably know what happened.
Yeah, we gotta get you Americans to figure out dialing phone numbers first. You guys struggled dialing my Australian number, but no, you know. As a team owner now, apparently I'm not allowed to even talk about betting. So,
oh, that's right.
Big problem.
How's your team doing, by the way? Aren't you in the playoffs or something?
Well, soft spot, man. Thanks for that. No, we got knocked out of the plains about a week ago. So
darn it.
So we're in rebuild, not rebuild mode, but we're in restructure mode for next season. Free agency will start in roughly 3 weeks old, about a month. So a very, very busy time of year for us. And season, so we're trying to rebuild next season.
Okay, great stuff. Well, best of luck with it, Andrew. And again, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Easy, guys. Thank you.
All right, there it is. Bogues. Andrew Bogut right here on Willard and Dibs.